This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and I want to give you a very special talk today on Christian warfare. We're going to look into it in this program, and some of the stuff may be quite strange and not just out of the ordinary. Anyway, that's the start to our War Room session today here on BPN Radio, on Seismic Radio. I'm going to show you a film via radio, which is going to be quite a challenge. But let me briefly explain what this film is all about and why I'm showing you the film. Okay, first of all, sometimes God speaks to us in very strange ways, and he declares the truth to us through everyday events, yeah? Sometimes even through something that's very, very strange. I remember before I got saved, I saw a film called Convoy, and there was sort of in this film, you may remember it, I think it was sort of a 70s production. In this film, there was like a bunch of crazy Christians, and they were pretty much used to ridicule Christianity. That's what pretty much the filmmakers tried to do, the Hollywood people tried to do, I think. I was talking later with another brother of mine, like later years about, because the film had quite an impact on me, and he sort of agreed, and he said, oh, this was really nasty, you know, what they tried to do there. They really sort of ridiculed. If you know the film, I leave the opinion to you. You probably remember this group of Christians who were part of this convoy. It was just a story about a bunch of truckers breaking the speed limit and trying to outwit the sheriff and needing to be at a certain time. And it was sort of a protest of the public going a little bit crazy. Anyway, God used this film, and I wasn't a Christian at the time, but God used this film to really appeal to me to come to him. Yeah? And so sometimes even the things which are meant to go against Christianity, God can use them. Yeah. And I've heard stories from Russia, you know, that people, they couldn't get hold of Bibles. So what did they do? Is they bought all the communist literature, picking up verses from the Bible and then criticizing them. And so they got hold of Bible verses. That was one way of doing this. So sometimes, you know, the weapons forged against us are turned around against the enemy. Okay, so here is the story. Now, God can talk to you in many ways. With Balaam, he talked to him, or he had a message to him via a donkey. So he allowed a donkey to speak and to talk to him, you know, complaining about why he's getting chastised. And then God opened Balaam's eyes, and he could see an angel. He could see an angel who was about to kill him. Because Balaam was on the wrong path. He was on the path away from God, driven by greed. Jeremiah had sort of some interesting ways of portraying a truth. One of them was a belt, which he went from all the way from Jerusalem to the Euphrates, and he buried it at the Euphrates and went back home. That was his mission, and no questions, no whatever. A bit later, he came back and he undug it and got it a message for him because the bed was all rotten and spoiled and withered. So, and then he went to the potter and he watched the potter doing some stuff, and God gave him a message. Later, he had a potter's flask and he broke it. You know, took the leaders out and he broke the leaders and he proclaimed judgment upon Jerusalem. And sometimes, you know, things like that, they are used, you know, to illustrate the truth. Okay, anyway, this is what happened to me, and I'm going to share it to you, and it kind of fits in with all the war room stuff. I just stumbled over a video, a propaganda video. I don't know who has made it. It looks to me like a video game animation. But it is about Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia being, you know, the great force, and, you know, being amazing, so to say. Yeah, that's what the way they were portrayed. And obviously we've got Persia, Iran, yeah. And if you understand a little bit about the Middle East, the Persians, they speak a different language, very different language to the Arabs. They've got a very different culture. Actually, when you go back in history, the Persian culture is very high standing, and they had a big influence over the area. So for many years, the only counterpoise to the Roman Empire was the Persian Empire. And the Romans and the Persians were at odds for a long, long time, you know, until the 7th century. So even when the Western Roman Empire was de facto finished and it just sort of rose back up in little states here and there, the Eastern Roman Empire, Constantinople, or Byzantine, they were still warring with the Persians for dominance in the area. So they were very powerful people for a long time, highly cultured, and you can still find this today when you talk to Persians. Arabs, in return, they really started in the 7th century maybe, when they became of significance, and that was historically seen a result of the plague, you know, ravaging the East Roman Empire and Persia as well, and they had a bunch of wars as well, so they pretty much expanded themselves, and then suddenly the Arab peninsula came up, they got their own prophet, Muhammad, and it all happened sort of in the 7th, 8th century, and then they stood up. Anyway, since then there's been a big war between the Persians and the Arabs. Both turned Islamic, and one is Shia, so that's one brand, and the other one is Sunni. It's to do with the succession, you know, after Muhammad died, you know, who was in charge. They disagreed. Maybe it was more, you know, we don't like you Arabs, we do our own thing, and the Arabs said, no, 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 this is our prophet, you better do as we tell you. It might have been more something like that, but there's been ever since a big sort of a big tension between the two of them. Okay, anyway, so this film is all about the war between, a fictitious war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. It's made, obviously, by Saudis, and Saudi Arabia is so great in this war that Iran is done and dusted with within the six-minute video. Anyway, you learn a little bit about modern warfare in this video. I'm gonna play the video, and I'll comment on what to see, what's happening on the pictures. So I'll be the commentator and sort of try to get this video alive to you. And then obviously there's gonna be a moral of the story. There's gonna be a message coming out of it, and it's a big problem which we have got within the church, which is sort of a little bit highlighted with this video. Okay, I'll try my best to try and get this going. Right, let's have a look, see whether we can get this going. Okay, I need to turn it up. And so, okay, there's a freighter. Okay, so you see a freighter. The freighter is attacked by Iranian gunships. Two to go. And then the Saudi army comes after the mayday call. And they take out the little gunships. And obviously within a few minutes, all the gunships are gone. The freighter can carry on in peace. Iranian army comes trying to take out the Saudi navy, or the Iranian navy trying to take out the Saudi navy. The boats are destroyed. The Saudis shoot back, and
Sir,
or the Iranian navy is done.
Just destroyed three Iranian attack boats.
So that's not the control room.
One of our ships.
And they get a warning.
Sir,
a big screen.
Sir, we have detected incoming missiles.
And
prepare
that's a biggie.
The Patriots.
So they prepare the defense
Five,
system.
Four,
defense
three,
systems go up.
Two. One, launch!
And they shoot the incoming missiles out of the sky. From Iran, obviously.
Missiles intercepted and destroyed,
Control
sir.
Room again.
Okay. Time for payback. Send in the jets.
So now the control room says they're gonna attack Iran.
The Typhoon and the F-15s are on the way, sir. AWACS has picked it up.
So the AVAX is
We have a visual on all three targets, sir.
An aeroplane to gather all information about what's happening, giving radar information.
Requesting permission to engage. Permission granted. Fire!
So now the Iranian jets are taking out of circulation.
Sir,
control room again.
Has been eliminated. Get me.
So the Iranian Air Force is done. Now they send some missiles across.
Waiting for the launch. Fire!
Winds on its way.
So the missiles take out the Iranian infrastructure.
Sir, we are approaching the military base.
So the Iranian infrastructure has been taken out. Military infrastructure. The army is invading Iran. That's the Saudi army. The tanks go out, people go out. So they're heading towards Tehran, I assume. And you get the paramilitaries. They're coming out as well, dropping the soldiers of Iran.
Your Royal Highness, our forces has penetrated the enemy lines. The operation is moving as planned.
And that was the control room again, just informing the king of Saudi. So they're now on the battlefield and they're pulling down the Iranian flags and putting up the Saudi flags. They're going to the military compounds, to the bunkers, and they get the Iranian leaders. Seem to be very scared. And now the happy ending. All the Iranians are there, and you see a crowd waving Iranian and Saudi flags. So they all feel happy that they've been liberated from the mullahs. Okay, I'm going to stop it here, and that's now a big thing about Mecca and so on. There's a lot of stuff in there which is behind this this film. One of them is that obviously the Saudis, they feel that they are quite superior because they've got Mecca and on the pecking order in the world. They are right at the top because they are the people of the Prophet and they have got Mecca. Needless to say, there's a lot of proof, necessary to say, there's a lot of proof that, by the way, that Muhammad was never in Saudi Arabia. But when you look at some of the sources, and a guy called Jay Smith has done a lot of research in this area, if you look at some of the sources they have about the life of Muhammad, it all seems to point to Jordan and to a place called Petra in Jordan, where he was sort of doing his stuff. If you take this place, a lot of the texts that make sense, if you apply them to Mecca or Medina, they don't make sense. Actually, Mecca is only mentioned in the Quran once. Anyway, that's just a side note. But back to the film, okay? I mean, it's fictitious, yeah, and I'm sure if it ever were to take place, the Iranians would be very much in a position to look after themselves and to defend themselves. And it's not a war that's going to be done and dusted in about 5 minutes. It's going to be a horrifying war if this ever took place. They're both, armed to the hill, and it's very, very scary. Anyway, but there was one message in there. They had a control room, and in this control room, in this war room, they were picking up information. And before, in this scenario, before the Iranian rockets could hit the Saudis, They had their Patriot missiles ready, and they could deflect the attack. They had a boat on the waters, a freighter. And the freighter was in trouble because it was under attack from the Iranian gunboats or gunships. And before they could attack the freighter successfully, and the freighter made the Mayday call, there was the Saudi army dealing with those gunboats and finishing them off. Yeah, so they were prepared. They were prepared, and they were there in position to deal with the problem they had to deal with. Right, so that is pretty much what I got out of this, preparedness. Yeah, and I'm not quite sure how prepared armies are for real. You know, if a strike would happen, how early it would be recognized and whether it would be deflected is a very big question, a very, very big question. But again, we are talking about the war we have got, the spiritual war. And one thing I've seen, and this is a criticism in the church, that when I look at the church over the last 100 years, the church was not prepared. It's been attacked at the right, left, and center. And the way the church has responded was always when it was too late. The rocket has landed, has caused massive destruction. Only then the church got up. Only then the church got up and started, trying to deal with this. There was never really the AWACS system. AWACS, again, is an aeroplane up in the sky, monitoring all, the movements in the air. Yeah, so in this little film thing, there was the AWACS, and maybe they got the information from the AWACS. And the AWACS were monitoring and feeding information back. And within Christianity, even though we have got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, it talks about the gift of discernment. We've got the gift of discernment within our churches. We don't practice it, or we haven't in the past practiced it to the best of our defense. And again, when we should attack, we didn't attack, but we just let people run all over us. And and that is a big problem. That is a big, big problem in the church. We need to deal with this. I'm going to give you some examples of what has happened. One of the examples is that there was a failed preacher in the mid-1800s. He wanted to become a preacher, somehow didn't make it, and then he wanted to become a botanist or something, and he went to the Galapagos. And he wasn't really a scientist by any means of the description. Compared to the understanding we've got today of how life operates, he didn't have a clue. And then anyway, he wrote the book Origin of Species, and today it's become like the Bible of the modern atheist. Yeah, it's taken Christianity, so we're talking about the 1850s, around about there, so a little bit later, but sort of the mid-1800s, and it's taken Christianity about 100 years to wake up and to do something about this. So this guy has just been telling a bunch of lies, a bunch of unsubstantiated theories. All of them set themselves up to mock God and to mock the origin of man. Most people in the world believe this lie. You know, they just lap it up and they believe this lie, and it stops them from taking us serious, and it stops them to face their mortality and their eternity, because Darwinism tells them that they're just a product of chance, and, you know, when they die, everything is gone, and so people don't know really what to believe anymore. And so they've got real, 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 real problems, yeah. And again, it's interesting as well how this all started. When you look at the 1850s, there were massive revivals all over the world, in the Western world. And a lot of people came to Christ. And what did the devil do? You know, very often, he goes right into the revivals, and we get the fake revivals right next door to the real revivals. But in this instance, this did take place anyway in the 1850s. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, they came from this time. The Adventist movement, so Ellen G. White and all this stuff came from this time. Mormonism was around about this time as well. So it's a lot of weird stuff which sort of came from the spirit, but also evangelicalism came from this time as well, and sort of Anabaptism, which was big in the 15th century, revived and came. The missionary movement came from this period. So there were really great moves as well, which came from the spirit, but also we got Darwinism, which then started to flare up and become really popular in the beginning of the 1900s. And then at the same time within theology, we had the critical method of analyzing the Bible, historically critical method. And I was just hearing today, I was listening to a guy, and he said, look, in the Bible there, about Jesus Christ's first, second, and third coming, so the first coming, then the rapture, and then, the coming at the end of time, and then the millennial reign. There are about 2,000 prophecies in the Bible, 2,000 prophecies. And they're all in the Old Testament, some of them are in the New Testament about the end times. And he said, to date, 2,000 of those prophecies have been fulfilled. 2,500, 2,000 have been fulfilled. 500 are still outstanding. So the probability of this happening, and especially in the sequence as well, with the timing and everything, they're virtually impossible. If you do statistics, mathematical statistics, they are impossible. But yet, it has happened, And we know, if the 2,000 prophecies which have been made about Jesus Christ and the end times as well, and we are sort of just waiting for the last 500, which could be fulfilled within a period of, 7 years, even less, So it's pretty sure, it's pretty certain that they're going to happen. So the Bible has proven itself to be a reliable book and a reliable source of information because of those prophecies. Nobody could predict, even in times when it was impossible to see what the world was going to look like, in 2018. And a lot of the stuff that's written points exactly to our time, and it's quite amazing. Okay, anyway, so the Bible is true. The problem is we react too late. So with Darwinism, it's taken us till about the 1960s, 70s, when the creationists stood up and they said, enough is enough, we're going to look at this. We got some scientists coming up with huge amount of information, huge amount of evidence, even evidence which was produced by the evolutionists. And all we had to do is just interpret the evidence in a different light. And then suddenly it makes much more sense and it's much more coherent. Within a creationist context and within an evolutionist context. We can't use the imperial method because we haven't got a time machine, can't go back, and so we don't have billions of years to prove that one or the other thing could happen. But again, from the theory, it fits in a lot better, and there are tons of contradiction within evolution, within the evolutionary concept. Tons of contradiction, and there's just like circular reasoning, sort of one thing is based on the other, and then people come up with all sorts of crazy theories. And whereas if you look at the flood, you look at the biblical narrative, it all fits in nicely. There's no problem. No problem at all. And then you've got people like Bill Nye standing up and accusing creationists that we are dumbifying the population by explaining the world around us from a creationist perspective and that we are anti-science. Reality is they haven't got any evidence. Zero. Zilch. All the evidence they've produced, the evolutionists I'm talking about, is just zero. It can be refuted. It can be displaced. There are massive problems in there. It's all based on assumptions, really. And then providing you've got one assumption, verifying another assumption, and then you've got something you can see, like some fossil record or something, and then they try to explain it that way. And then you look at the evidence which is there for the theory of creation or for creationism, and it's just bountiful. It's just all over. It's staring out. It's staring us in the face. And again, how long has it taken us to respond? About 100 years. There was a court case in, I think it was in Pennsylvania, about this whole thing, evolutionary creationism. The Christians didn't have any arguments, and the evolutionists won the court case. It's about, I think, education, teaching it somewhere. I should go more into it. But again, that's a big problem. Now, my friends, one thing we know, and I've got about 6 minutes left, and we need to come to an end here. But one thing I know, and going back to the Christian War Room, Jesus is coming back soon. And it's not for us to fall on our backs, keel over, and say, oh dear, the Lord is coming soon. Let's lie here safely in our little church corner and do nothing. But on the contrary, we should go out there and confront all the stuff which is on there. Confront all the stuff, all the rubbish that's thrown at the church. This historical critical analysis of the Bible, evolution. We have got witches attacking the church. There was recently an article about witches fasting on a certain day every month for the downfall of Trump. We should rise up against this stuff. There's a guy who has got a Christian vice president. He, whatever his position is, wherever he stands, but he seems to be favorable towards Christians. He seems to favor our cause. We need to pray for this guy, and we need to pray. Regardless, even if he were, a really bad guy, we need to pray for the authorities God has ordained above us because God told us to pray for them. Even if it is just to restrict their madness in some cases, like with the last president, of some of the stuff that was going on there. We need to pray for our authorities and we need to, embrace them. But also, we need to make sure that our churches are okay. We need to pray for our leaders within the church. We need to take the Word of God and defend the truth. We need to, first of all, read the Word of God and understand it, but also to defend the truth. We need to have and ask God for the gift of discernment that when an attack is coming, like those missiles which were launched in this fictitious video, in this fantasy video, whatever they had, but if it is launched, that we can see what is happening and what is coming to us and take action. And the action might consist in prayer. It might consist in just rising up and preparing the flock for what is about to come. It might be in bringing together arguments to oppose whatever is taking place. It might be even in using legal means to try and oppose whatever is being brought upon us. Before it is too late. And the problem, when I look at America, it's always been a minority who has been opposing the Christian majority, and they got away with that. And now we've got a situation where the population in the States is split pretty much half and half, where you've got half following a Christian ethos, half following a secular ethos, and the confrontation is quite big. So we need to at least rise up and understand what is coming, realize what is around us, have our early warning systems in place, and then take action when it is necessary and not sit back and, allow them to ravage us and to destroy us, to attack us, but have our shield of defense in place and then also go on the offensive and bring the gospel out to the people and let them know who Jesus is and what he has done. So that is very, very important. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I want to praise you for the gifts you've given us in 1 Corinthians. And I pray, Lord, for the church to bountifully hand out the gift of discernment, that we can see when attacks are taking place and when evil is upon us before it comes, Lord. That we can pray against this, that we can build up the shield of faith, and that we can use the sword of the Word of God to defend ourselves and to fight off the attack. I pray, Lord, that you will lead and guide us in these times, in these perilous times, where we are surrounded by deception, where we are surrounded by enmity, where people try to persecute us for just who we are. Lord, we pray, help us to defend ourselves. I also pray, Lord, that you will give us the strength to, Lord, to preach the gospel even in a time when it's not opportune. Yeah. That we are shod with the readiness of the proclamation of the gospel to bring your word into a lost world. Amen. Right, you can check us out at what's the website? ChristianWarRoom.com, not The Christian War Room, but ChristianWarRoom.com. So this talk is going to be there. I don't know which number it is. It's going to be somewhere in the, I don't know. I'm not going to even attempt it to say. But anyway, this talk is there, plus a lot of other talks as well. I hope the video worked somehow, and it sort of talking over, it wasn't too irritating. But I thought it was quite interesting to see. So the military understands how to defend itself, and they've got an understanding of that. We need to gain the same understanding, and we need to, to embrace this as well within our churches, see what's happening, and be ready. Be ready. That's my desire, my wish for you. Okay. Anyway, the things said here on the program may or may not be the views of the management of BPN Radio. So just always bear this in mind when you listen to the Christian War Room. And this brings us to the end. God bless and bye-bye till the next Christian War Room session.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.